Boker Tov.
They give it to...
Yeah, they give it away to poor people. Listen, they have it at schools. How did the kid go home? There's a winter coat here. Didn't he go home in the freezer? Don't even know. Okay, Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Tzadik Zion in Bava Kamma. Right from the top of the page. Rav said yesterday, Rav Chanina Bar, Rav Dimi said the name of Rav, that the loch is like, or may it really meant that the loch is like the Rabbanan, that an Eved is like Karka, and that it can't be stolen. It can't be stolen. And as such, even if you stole it and it got older, it got older, your thing got older, not me. I didn't steal it. See, if I stole it, then I have responsibility to give back what I stole at the time that I stole it. If it got worse or better in my possession, that's my problem. I got to give back what I stole. But if I never stole it, then it's always yours. So the Gemara now says right from the top of the page, did Rav really say that Avikam Karka, that Ev is like Karka, meaning that it can't be stolen and it always stays in the ownership of the original owner? Let's say you grab somebody else's Evid Kanani. You grab him, you seize him. You did work with him. Potter, you don't have to pay. No, when you don't have to pay. If I stole him and it became mine, so I don't have to pay for the usage, I have to give back the Evid. But if I stole him while he was yours, then I should have to pay you for it. Why are you potter from paying? Beshus of the Marikoi. He was in your possession. I used your item, I should have to pay you for it. You know what's the up? Where he wasn't doing work at that time. I stole him, let's say, in the evening. He wasn't working at that time. And I did from, so you didn't have any loss. There was no loss. Kihos, similar to the case of where I stayed in your house and you didn't rent it out. Let's say you had a chatzer or a house. You had an extra, you had a bungalow, and you weren't using it. And I went in there and I stayed in there. What harm did I cause you? Rav Abba Lemari Bar Mar. Rav Abba sent to Mari Bar Mar. Boy, my neighbor, ask this question of Rav Huna. I live in your chatzer, your house, your bungalow, whatever, without your knowledge. Do I have to pay you or not? And we're talking about where it wasn't normally rented out. You don't normally rent it out. You just had an extra bungalow. You had an extra house. You didn't rent it. If you rented it out, then you could say you stayed there. I could have gotten rent for it. But no, he doesn't rent it out. He told him, you don't have to pay. So it's the same thing over here. The Eved doesn't do work at night. It wasn't like you normally got some work out of him. Didn't get it. It was at a time when he was off on Sundays or off on Labor Day. He didn't work today, right? So you think, Moshe, when you compare the two cases of the staying in the guy's bungalow to the work in Bishlam Hossam, over there, people are happy when somebody stays in the house. If you have a house that's unoccupied, you don't rent it out, you're actually happy when people stay in there. Why? A house that's lived in Yosef is more stable. Why? Because a guy who lives in there, if something's broken, he'll fix it. If it needs a little shiputz, a little plaster, he'll fix it because he wants to live. He wants it to be sealed. He wants it to be proper. That's good. There's another pasuk in Shaya which says that Shaya, which is the name of a shade, it's like when we were kids, you know, a haunted house. If nobody's in the house, you assume a shade is in there doing damage. A shade will do damage. He'll break the gate, so to speak, when nobody's there. So you're happy if somebody's there. Either way, however you learn, either because people who live in there will take care of it or because you're just happy when it's occupied. You don't want a house to be empty. That's natural. Nobody wants a house. If you have a second house and it stays empty, that's not good. You'd rather have a tenant in there. You'd rather have everybody stay there for nothing, just that it should be keep the house. So he's happy there. Aloha. So if I have an extra bungalow, I mean, I don't mind if somebody stays in there. They'll take care of it. It's not so bad. But over here, aloha, am I happy that my Eved gets weakened because I'm working him out? Oh, you worked him the whole night, so now he'll be tired the next day. Here, guys also have it because people don't want their avodim to get too used to being idle. You know, they get lazy. He's like, keep him busy. Yeah, you got some work for him, keep him busy. Otherwise, he'll not want to work at all. So it's speaking about a case where no damage was done, really, because the owner would rather have him work than not work. So it's not a kashan rab. Now we tell you a similar story to this. Bear of Yosef Bar Chama, in the house of Yosef Bar Chama, in his household, when they were owed money and people didn't pay them, they would grab the guy's slave, right? The debtor's slave, you grab the slave and have him work for Avdi Malacha. Omalei, Rava, Bray, so Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, said to him, my time, what do you do? Why are you doing that? He asked him in a respectful way. It wasn't a question, he just said, why are you doing that? Omalei, I mean, how are you allowed to do that? I mean, the guy owes you money, so aren't you, it's sort of like usury, you're getting extra. Because Rav Nachman said that an Eved, Rav Nachman had a lazy Eved, and he said he's not even worth the bread that he eats. In other words, it costs more to support him than it does, than the work you get out of him. When did Rav Nachman say that could go into Oru Avdi? That was his name. He had a bad Eved, the Merakid Bekuvi, he used to dance in the wine houses and the bars, meaning he was a lazy good-for-nothing, he didn't want to work. But Kula Avde Mavadavi, but other most of Adam, obviously, why would you keep an Eved? If it costs more to feed him than he gets work out of him, you wouldn't want to keep him. So Rav Yosef still answered, I hold like Daniel, Dhammad Rav Daniel Bar Rav Katina, Amarav, Atok about the Shechavero, Vasamalacha Potter. I hold like Rav Rav, we started at the top of this page saying Rav Daniel Barav said, Rav Katina said in the name of Rav, that if you grab somebody's Eved and do Malacha for him, you're potter from paying, even though it stays, he still, you never acquired it. Even if you stole it, you didn't really steal it because the Eved is like karka. In other words, what's the reason why? Because the guy's happy that his Eved shouldn't be idle because then it'll become lazy. So that's why I do it. So Rabbi told him, in other words, that's why we grab other people's Eved and do work. And he says, that's all fine and dandy. If you stomp, you grabbed somebody's Eved, you needed some work done. So you grab Luther over here. Luther, come here, do some work. Did some work for you. You don't have to pay for it. Remember, because you never really stole him because you can't steal an Evan. Evan's like karka. And you didn't really weaken him. And the owner's actually happy. But that's fine where the owner didn't owe you any money. Mar, but in the case of, father, Rabbi Yosef, keeping the Mask Buzuzi, since they owe you money, it looks like ribbis, right? Since the other party owes you money and now you're grabbing his evidence, looks like since he doesn't pay you back the money yet, you're taking a little bit extra in usury. In a case like we said before, where you don't normally rent out the house, and you live in that guy's house, he doesn't rent it out anyway. He's probably happy if somebody stays in the house, right? Even though you don't have to pay him. But let's say you lent that guy money, and then you live in his bungalow. Doesn't look good. It looks like ribbis. You got to pay for him, so it shouldn't look ribbis. You're right. I retract. I revert what I said.
It's not really ribbis. It's just payback.
But it looks like ribbis. In other words, ribbis is anything.
It's over and above.
Anything that looks like what the definition of interest is, payment for the time value of the money. In other words, you give me money for a month or a year or whatever it was, and for in return for me holding that money, I'm giving you some benefit. This looks like that too. That guy owes me money. He hasn't paid me back yet. So you know what I'll do? I'll stay in this house. Yeah. No, he didn't deduct it. He's not deducting it. If you deduct it from the thing, then it's not ribbis. That's a different story. But here he didn't deduct it. He said, you owe me the whole $100. I lent you $100. You know what? While I'm waiting for the money, I'll tell you what, I'll stay in your house. That looks like ribbis. So again, if you didn't owe him the money staying in the house and the guy doesn't normally rent it out, and he's actually happy that somebody stays in the house. But here it looks like ribbis. It's not really ribbis to oraisa, because there was a oraisa where you set it up in front. You say, listen, we're writing it in the contract, 1.5% per annum or per month if you're in the mafia, whatever. They write it out specifically. It's called ribbis kutsutsa. This is what we call avak ribbis. It looks like ribbis, and the rabbis asked it. Itmar, let's say I borrow your boat. I steal your boat without your knowledge. I just grabbed it. Vasa Balacha did some work with it. Amarav. Now, a boat is not karka, right? So what happens in this case? Either the owner of the boat can either take its hire, what he would normally get for it, from renting out a boat, or he could take the depreciation. If he had the boat for a while and he ruined it a little bit, he could take depreciation, whichever is greater. He could take whatever he wants. That's what Rashi says. If something happened to it, it got worse or something, and that's worth more than the normal hire, the normal rental rate, he could take that. Shmuel Amar Ein Nota P'chasa. Since he took it, he stole it effectively, and he can only take the P'chasa. He can only take the depreciation, how much it went down, even if that's less than the hire. Amar Papalov, there's really no machlokas here. Hadavidalag, very simple. The first one's talk where it is sometimes rented out. It's sometimes rented out. This guy didn't rent it, though. You didn't rent it. If you rent it, so the deal is I pay for the rent. If it gets worse, less in value, that's your problem. That's the rent. Here he took it without the knowledge of the owner. So the owner could say, either give me the rent or give me the pchas, the depreciation, whichever is greater. But Shmuel is talking about where it wasn't made for hire. He never rented it out anyway. So effectively, he just stole it. So he's got to pay the value that it's less. Unfortunately, grapple with it. So why isn't it kona b'shinoi? A little complicated. V'boy seima, how about a v'lug? Or I could tell you, no, in both cases they're made up. Both Shmuel and Rapapa are speaking, I mean, both Shmuel and Rav are speaking about a case where it was normally rented out. V'boy seima, how about a v'lug? In one case he took it out without the owner's permission. He meant to rent it. So then he gets paid, he meant to rent it out. He meant to rent it. So if he meant to rent, he meant to rent it to pay the hire, but he didn't actually make a deal. So the owner could say, listen, I'll take the hire or I'll take the pchas, whichever is greater. You took without my knowledge. In the case of Shmuel, Shmuel's when he went to steal it. When he went to steal it, so there was no, even though it was normally rented out, but here this guy didn't rent it. He didn't mean to rent it. He meant to steal it. Therefore, he can only get the pchas. Mishnah says, let's say you stole a coin and it broke in half, it cracked, broke in half, so it's worth your coin of machinery, and you have to pay back a shasik zela. But let's say it just went down, let's say the coin became, they discontinued that coin, it was no longer current. What happens then? So the Mishnah seemed to say, if it's no longer current, you could say, it's a hezek shein nicker. Amar afuna nizdik mamish, nizdik means it's cracked, nifso, Pasloso Malchus. Nifsa means that the kingdom made it possible, which sounds as if it's worthless. The coin is not, you know, coin no longer can be used for currency, still say Reshach Vanecha. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Pasloso Malchus Nami Hananistek. If the government, let's say, meaning the Malchus, the government who governed all the lands in which you're located, even other countries, if that's the same as broken. In other words, if this, it's like a coin that's no longer used. You know, like today, you have if you find an old shekel or a lira or something like that, that's worthless, right? So he says that's like as if it was broken. You'd have to pay the full amount, Sham Shasik Zela, if it became worthless while it was in your possession, right? Elech Domi Nifsol. What do you mean Nifsol? That we say that you could say Reshachol Fanech. You should give it back in the way it was. Sheplastasa Medina Zu. It became possible in this Medina. Anyway, it was disqualified, it was discontinued in this country, you use it elsewhere. So in a case like that, it could say, and take it elsewhere. This is the beginning of the discussion about coins, and the coins that became discontinued. So Rav Yehuda says that when our Mishnah says that you could say, you took a coin, and then it became discontinued, you can give it back to him. It wasn't discontinued throughout the world. It was discontinued here, but you could take it across the border and use it over there. That's when you can say Reshachol Fanecha. We're going to qualify this some more. Rav Chista said for Rav Huna, who said that you explained the Mishnah as it came discontinued throughout the world, the whole kingdom, and it was like in time of the Achashverosh ran the whole world, became possible. So why would you say Reshachol Fanecha? Isn't this the same as Peiros Harei Peiros V'Akiva? If you stole Peiros and they became rotten, Yayim V'Echem, it's wine and it went bad, it became rancid, whatever came bad. That's like Kizosasa Malchus. It's no good anywhere. But Tani Misham Chasik Zel, then you have to pay the full value. Pay Chasik Zel, the amount where it was as when you took it. That's a Shinui. There it's different because the Tam of the Reach, the food, whether it's the fruits or the wine, doesn't not the same anymore. It's a total change. But here, the coin is the same coin. That was before they had paper money, but same thing that there was. It hasn't changed at all. That's Rav Huna's opinion. But then the predominant opinion seems to be Rav Yehuda says that if it was totally not good anywhere, you couldn't use this money in the world, like a lira. If you had an old lira today, it's not good anywhere in the world, then it's then you can't say Reshach Fanecha. You have to return back the value of what you originally took. Amalei Rav is the Gersa. It says Rav was born after Rav Yehuda. Rav was born after Rav Yehuda died.
Official recommendation, a recognition by the Malchus, or is it what people in the shul?
No, it's official. This is officially recognized by a Malchus. In other words, if the whole Malchus, the whole world says it's no good like earlier, then it's like this, it's like payers that went bad. You got to pay the whole thing. Mishang Chasik Zela. But if it's good in another country, just one country. We're not talking about what's used and what's accepted. We're going to talk on Amid Beis about if it's not really good, but you could use it somewhere else. You know, under what people in the shuk use. But here we're talking about where they the government says it's no longer accepted. Again, according to Rabbi, who said like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like the paslasa malchus. If the whole, you know, it's no good anywhere in the world. The government says these aren't. It's not accepted anywhere. It's the same as nistek. It's cracked, and you have to misham chasik zela. What about hare truma v'nitmas? Truma that became tummy can't be used at all. Cohen can't eat it. Truma v'nitmas kichusas malchus. Like it's no good anywhere. Even though it's no good at all, there you can't see the hezek. The food looks the same, whether it's tummy or not. Tummy is a spiritual thing, can't be seen. Hachamin kerzeka, but over here, everybody knows that a lira is no longer good. You borrowed the lira or took it in 1950, and now you want to return it back in 2016. Different story. It's not no longer a coin. Everybody knows that's no good. So that's how he learns it. Itmar. Now we get to this a different concept, similar but the issue of the coins. Let's say I lend you a coin. Rav says I can give back that same coin, but if I lend you a coin, I lend you merchandise. Amal v'schaver alavat there. Rashi explains means I lend you merchandise with the understanding that you're going to pay me back in coins. I'm lending you merchandise. I want you to pay me back with a dollar. Okay, with a lira. V'nifsal metbeah. And then the metbeah became no good. Let's say it became a lira. So, Rav Amar, nosal metbeah yotzabas ashor. You got to give back a new one. You got to make a shekel or a shekel chadash, whatever. You got to give back a coin that's current. You can't give back the old one. If you lent him money, Rashi says, right, if you lent money, you can give back the same money. Hezek shein enikar. But if you lent him merchandise, you got to pay back with the current coin. And Shmuel says, yachalom alecha, you could say spend it somewhere else. Now, we're not really talking about the same case of a lira, because a lira is no good anywhere in the world. Here he means to say, like where it became possible in one area and not possible in another way, the case that Rebuta describes our Mishnah, where you could say rech shochol fenecha, because you could use it somewhere else. Rav says, no. If you lent him money on, you lent him merchandise, and with the understanding he's going to pay back a dollar, and that dollar is no longer good here, but it's good somewhere else, Rav says you got to give him a new one, the way it is right here. And Shmuel says, go spend it in Mishnah, go spend it over there. You could spend the dollar somewhere else. It's not good here, you could spend it, take it over there. He can give back the coin, even though the coin is no longer current in this country. So Nachman qualifies further what Shmuel says and says, you can give him back that coin if the guy's on his way to Mishnah and he's got reason to go over there, not Stam. That reason to go there. But if he's not going over there, guy gives you a coin that's good in Afghanistan. I'm not going to Afghanistan, right? So you can't give him back that coin. Eisve Rav Nachman, a machal and loves machal meiser sheni produce on money. You can't use it on money she einam yotzim that are not good. Yotzim that are not good right here. Ketzad, they're not good right now. Ketzad ayelomos kuzbios. Yerushalmius, let's say old Kuzbios means from the time of Bar Kokhba coined money. He's called Kuzbi because he was a liar, because he came from a place like that. One Gerson Rashi is Kuzbios, which are Yerushalmius. Another one is it's O Yerushalmius, but it means old coinage. Yeah, let's say he had some old coins from thousands of years ago, from the earlier kings. And it's something that's not used today. Ein Mechalon, you can't be Mechalo money, Maisa Sheni on that kind of money. Hoshel Achronim, Dumir Rishon, but let's say it's from later generations, like current times, similar to Rishonim. In what sense? That they're no good in certain areas. Certain areas they say they're no good, in certain areas they're. Machan, you could use it. So it's Mashma over here. You could use it even though it's not current over here. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Rav Nachman explained Shmuel, saying that's only if you're going to that place. Right? But if you're not going to that place, you can't use it. Here it's Mashma, that even if you're not going to that place, as long as it's good in some in another place, it's good enough. Rashi's kashal of Nachman, Alibi Shmuel, Damer of a Leslie Orchem Leishen Lo. And here it's Mashma that you're not going to place. Rashi's Vavagav the Leslie Orchem Loasim Mokum Shiotz and Sherei B'Shalayim. So you got to spend it in Yerushalayim. You're not going over there to Mishan or some other place. Amalei Hachamay Eskinan. So he answered him. So Rav Nachman answered him. No, Sheim Alchus Makbira Zual Zu. That's speaking about the reason you can machal is because that's speaking where the governments are not makbid if you bring in money from one area to another. Now, in certain countries, you have it even today. You can't bring in foreign currency into their country. They don't want that. So certain countries still have those rules. So he says that's where they weren't makbid. We're talking about, Shmuel was talking about where they are makbid, right? Here he's talking about where they're not makbid. Che'emachuyas makbid is so you could use any monies as long as it's current somewhere. So if that's the case, but Shmuel was talking about, so you're saying that Shmuel was talking about where kingdoms are particular and don't want money brought from one place to another. So he says, if you're going there, fine. But if you're not going there, it's no good. But if they're machbid, even if you're going there, how can you take the money in? They'll stop you at the border. So Gemara says, so how do you take the money there? So Rashi takes out the next few words, but the idea is the same. With difficulty, you got the money. The low box, they don't check you. In a lot of places, they don't check your pockets to see what kind of money you have. They don't want you to bring in, your Canadian dollars or whatever. They don't want you to bring it in here. But if you bring it in, they're not really checking you too carefully. So Shmuel said that Shmuel was talking about where a case where governments are particular. They don't want you bringing money from other countries, but they're not checking you too carefully. So if you bring it, so if I told you, here's some merchandise, and you got to give me back the current money, and even though at the time you give it back to me, the money is no longer good over here, but it's good somewhere else. So Shmuel says, according to Rav Nachman, you can give me back that money as long as I'm going over there. How did I get the money there? Because they weren't checking that carefully. Tashma ein mechalal al mos shel kan ve'im bebavel. Let's say you're mechalal ma'isa sheni produce, right, onto money. You can't mechalal on money, which is here in Yerushalayim. Money's good in Yerushalayim, but the owner is in Bavel. The money is in Bavel, and the owner is in Bavel, but the money, it's Israeli money, but it's in Bavel. No good. Because it has to be where you could spend it right now. Bishel Bavel, let's say it was Bavel money Ein Kan, Bavel money in Yerushalayim. The owner's in Yerushalayim, but he's got Bavel money, like people here who have dollars or some other money, right? Ein Kan. Bishel Bavel Ein Kan, you can't use that. Shel Bavel Vein, but Bavel Machalin. Let's say it's Babylonian money and the owner's in Bavel, then you could use it. Right, you could use it. The Gemara is going to say, how do you bring it here then? Okay, Tani Mias Ein Mechalan Al Mos Shel Kan Dein BeBavel. You can't use money of Yerushalayim. If it's in Bavel, Afagav the Sofer Lemesigos, maybe you're going to come there eventually. Shmuel said, as long as you're going to take the money eventually, according to Reb Nachman, as long as you're going to get to take the money to Mishan, that's good. But why not? Here he says, Ein Mechalan Al Mos Shel Kan Dein BeBavel. Afagav the Sofer Lemesigos, even though you're going to bring it over there. That's speaking about a case where they're very makbid. The government won't let you in. They check all your bags, make sure you don't bring in any foreign money. So if you have money, Babylonian money over there, not good. That's what we say that Ein Mechalan Al Mos Shel Kan Dein BeBavel. If you're in Bavel, they're mocked. They don't want to. Even at the Babylonian border, they're going to stop you if you have foreign money. So there, that's why it's talking. So if that's the case, if you have Babylonian money. And you say in Bavel, Babylonian money that you're mechal the produce on is okay, but how are you going to bring the money over here to Yerushalayim? The Ma'aser Sheni money has to be brought to Yerushalayim. So we say that you can't be mechal the money if you have Yerushalayim money over there, it's no good because they're going to stop you.
Exchange it when you get to
okay,
Yerushalayim?
So they didn't necessarily have exchange, but the custom stops you at the border. That's the problem. You could change the money. We're going to talk about that. You could change the money at the marketplace in Yerushalayim at the money exchangers. The problem is that the governments will stop you at the border. That was the problem. He said if you have Yerushalayim money in Bavel, it's no good, and if you have Bavel money here, it's no good. If you have bubble money here in Yerushalayim, it's the second case was right. You're going to bring it. And the answer is because they don't like you. They're going to stop you at the border. Yes, we did. Rashi says, they're very makbid. If you have bubble money in your shalim, it's very makbid. In other words, it's not easy to use the money because they're very makbid. They're going to find you with money that they were very makbid in those days at certain times. You say if you have bubble money in bubble where it's not a problem. See, it's like here, they used to have, until 2003, they had foreign currency problems, right? You weren't allowed to keep money. You weren't allowed to have dollars in this country until 2003.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't allow you to have it. You had to have special permission. Like, let's say you bought merchandise from another country and you had to pay in dollars, so you had to go to the bank, you had to bring the bills and the yishurim and all that stuff. Every payment became a major issue. You had to prove that you had to pay it, that it was different. But you weren't allowed to hold money. That's why Yitzhak Rabin and his wife got in trouble. He quit the first time he was prime minister because he was ambassador in America. And when he came back, he still had the account in Washington. He never closed the account. And they had to quit the government. They had to quit because of that. Remember that? So here's what we're saying, that they had foreign currency rules. You weren't allowed to keep the money. That's what we say. But if they weren't in foreign currency rules, you could have it anyway. The question was said, if you had Bavel money in Bavel, then you could be mechal the money on that. So but the problem is, though, if there's some makbid, how are you ever going to get the money from Bavel to Yerushalayim to spend the money here? My chazah says, the answer is you could buy a behema, buy an animal in Bavel, and bring the animal over. That you could do. The animals you could do. Masa Yerushalayim. I have a tiny skin of Shia Mos, yes, Yerushalayim. But that's exactly the problem. People bring money from all over to Yerushalayim to change whatever money they had, right? true that the Maaser Sheni is really only on Peiros in Eretz Yisrael. But whatever money they had, even in Eretz Yisrael, presumably they had different monies. Yerushalayim had one money, Haifa had something else, Eilat had something else, whatever it was. They had, Eilat wasn't Eretz Yisrael, but whatever it was, there were different monies. So they had a takana that people should be able to bring any money and use it in Yerushalayim. That's how you see them. When the Jews were in charge, then they allowed any money because people could bring them any money that they had and buy payers in Yerushalayim. But when, unfortunately, when the Goyim were in charge, they didn't allow that. Now you could only have the money that was current in Yerushalayim. You couldn't bring money from one place to another. What's an example? What was the Matbei of Yerushalayim in those days? Davar Shalom and Tzarecha. Davar Shalom were on one side. It was said, Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, Mitzarecha. There was either a picture of Rashi as the Ksav, it was said those words. Davar and Yerushalayim were on one side, and Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh was on the other side. Deizu Matbei Shal Avram Avinu. What was the coinage of Avram Avinu? I guess this is an afghin if you're digging up, and they find coins every once in a while. You want to have them gain them. Zakonos Kenem Tzarecha. The elder of Zakan and Zakan, that means Avram and Sarah were on one side. Ubacha B'sulim Mitzarecha. Rashi says Ubacha B'sulim means Yitzchak and Rivka. Some of Farshim say that Bacha B'sulim was also Avram and Sarah, because miraculously they became young again, right? At least Sarah, you know, became young. He became young too, and they always act as if they were young. They were Makarov people. They acted very young. They acted as newlyweds their entire lives. If I lent you, according to Rav, this is a Rashi says, according to Rav, he says, I lent you some merchandise with the understanding you're going to give me back, let's say, a dollar, both sifo love, and they made the dollar bigger. We're talking about silver money in those days, right? Silver, metal coinage, not we have paper today. Both sifo love, and they made it bigger. So they had a dollar, and they added, they made the dollar bigger. What do you do? What do you pay back? Amalahu, Noslim Abey Yotze Basra, you got to give them the money that was current. And it's even though the dollars that they have now are bigger, let's say they were 25% bigger, even if it's as big as a sieve, and even if the coin is very big, Amalah Ain. Amalah Afilu Kitarati, which is a very large measure, even if that big, Amalah Ain. I have a Kazilan Payer, but understand, if the money is much bigger, they're going to buy more payers. Or right. So it's going to look like ribbosy. And why? Because not real ribbos, because it's not ribbos tutsa, but it's like if I give you 10 fruits and you're giving me back 15 fruits, that looks like ribbon. So over here also, what happens? I gave you some merchandise, fruits or whatever it was, vegetables, whatever the item was, I gave you X amount. And I said, you're going to give me back a dollar for this later when you get the money. And then the dollar became very big. It was a bigger dollar. It was going to buy a lot more. Because I don't think the payers are cheaper, and you're getting, it looks like you're Amar Ravashi. You're right, it depends. Chazina imach mas tiva zil. If it got cheaper, or if the fruits got cheaper because the dollar is bigger, the dollar buys more. Now, why is the dollar buying? Because there's more silver there. That's why it's buying more. So you're right. If I made a deal for original for a dollar, and now that dollar is 25 or 50% more, so then Manakila, you give them less. You give them a smaller coin. Imach mas tara zil. But if it got big, if it went cheaper because simply the market changed, for example, there was more supply. Maybe the fruits are cheaper now because there's a bigger supply. The supply is much greater than the demand. Lo man kinelein, you give back the dollar because then it doesn't look like ribbis. I kvashavach le'ninascha, but there's more metal over here. I don't understand. I'm giving you one coin and you're giving me back a much bigger coin. So there's more metal in there. You can melt it down. That's also ribbit. When they had a story like this, a similar case where the coin was bigger, the Bezuzi Dagradmas Taya, they went to the Arab coin changer, you know, the money changer. Ad Yud Betanya, Rashi learns like this, that if, let's say the original coins were 10. I gave you originally the equivalent of 10 coins. And now those same coins, eight of the current coins, whereas the original 10, he only gave back 8 of the original ones. Because if you give him back 10 of the new ones, that would be considered ribit. So if the difference was, like he says, like 25%, in other words, 8 of the new ones is equal to 10 of the old ones, he only gave him back 8. So Rashi says, now, certainly if let's say 10 or 11 or 12 of the old ones were like 8 of the new ones, where the difference is even greater, certainly only give back 8. But Tosis is Mashma from Tosis. The way he learns Rashi is that if the difference would be, say, 9 to 8, then he would give him back 9 of the new ones when the difference is only small. In other words, 9 of the old ones equals 8 of the new ones, you still have to give him back 9. But if the difference is much greater, for example, 10 of the old ones, or 11 of the old ones, or 12 of the old ones equal 8 of the new ones, you give them back 8 of the new ones, because otherwise it looks like ribbon. All right, we'll pick them here tomorrow. It's Shem Amarava.
So they ended up with the
Right.
They ended up with, you know, a 10-